we're learning that scientists and researchers are looking at how to change the weather on purpose. That's right. Lasers now could one day manipulate rain and lightning. CBS This Morning contributor Michio Kaku is a physics professor at City College of New York. Professor, nice to see you. Lasers, really, to change the weather?
Well, instead of doing a rain dance, we physicists are firing trillion-watt lasers into the sky to actually precipitate rain clouds and actually bring down lightning bolts. This is potentially a game changer.
But this is experimental.
It's experimental. However, in the laboratory, so far, it works.
This is fascinates me in part because, too, I remember reading the stories that China had used this during the Olympics, that the USSR had used this after Chernobyl to create rain clouds. I mean, did those really work then? We have some of these capabilities now?
Inconclusive. Even in the 60s, the CIA used this to bring down monsoons during the Vietnam War to wash out the Viet Cong. Governments have been playing with this thing.
Alleged to, right. Yeah.
Now, we realize that for decades, now, these governments have been alleged to have experimented with weather control, but nothing conclusive. This time we're bringing in the laws of physics rather than simply waving our hands and uttering mumbo jumbo. We're actually using trillion watt lasers now.
So
now
that was Anora O'Donnell. Did we say CBS?
CBS.
I can't keep these people straight.
Yeah.
This Nora O'Donnell, maybe 2008. We need to get the actual year on that, but it's not current. It's not new. We need to understand the people who are discussing right now who about weather control and the government, that there is there. This has been covered by the mainstream, like Nora O'Donnell, Miss Fact Checker herself, has been entertaining these conversations for a while. And when you have hurricanes like this, I see so much of it on X, which is where I spend most of my social media time. I have very much so pared down what I see on Facebook. It's a lot of Facebook groups about things, hobbies that I have. The conversation is out there. Cloud seeding is a discussion. That's the YouTube poll for today. Does government control the weather, yes or no?
Well, it seems like there would be... there's a little bit of a difference. Man, there's so many ways to approach this question. Because first, you have to ask, are they capable of actually forming a hurricane?
Yeah.
Because forming lightning is one thing. Cloud seeding to get it to rain, that's another thing. Making a hurricane, that seems like it's maybe a step beyond where we've discussed in the past. So I'll start there and say I'm a no on this question.
I'm so disappointed. I think you were the one we were hoping would be the yes.
You know what, though? I would like to, and I mean, you hear news reports like that, and you're like, that's actually further than I even knew we could go.
Yeah, and so, they're old.
Yeah, and talking about Vietnam and monsoons and stuff, you're like, oh, really?
Okay.
Oh, this has got my interest now.
And she goes, alleged.
Yeah.
And alleged.
He goes, yeah, alleged. Uh-huh. And then it just keeps going.
Officer Gary says, no, the government can't control the border. How the hell are they going to control the weather?
Okay, that's kind of where I was going next.
Okay.
Is this administration is not capable of really doing anything. They're so incompetent on almost everything that they do that does not involve some sort of domestic social agenda that I can't imagine them planning anything.
Larry says no, but they sure would love to control it.
I agree with Larry.
Let's see here. Partaking says, I don't know if they are or aren't, but I don't trust them at all, so I wouldn't put it past them. So I'm a yes. So that's a very skeptical, that's a default to yes out of mistrust or distrust. Russell says, no, ain't no way they can control the weather. They can't even control themselves, let alone Mother Nature. So the no's are basically saying due to incompetence.
Okay, and the last...
Evidentiary incompetence.
The last angle with which I would approach this, and I would say this is the most dubious one, because somebody somewhere could find the reason. But what exactly would this administration benefit from doing that? I don't see that. Somebody, I'm sure, will get online and comment, here's exactly how they benefit from
it. Let me throw a wrinkle in this.
Please.
When I say, does the government control the weather, that doesn't necessarily imply the Biden administration.
The campaign. Okay. Okay.
Just think about that one for a second, tinfoil hat wearers. Josh said, almost voted yes because that's funny, but don't want to give the lefties on here leverage, so of course I'm a no.
Okay. Fair enough.
RSG said, yes, weather modification is the act of intentionally manipulating or altering the weather. The most common form of weather modification is cloud seeding, which increases rainfall or snowfall. So, I mean, as votes, we almost have 200 votes here, and it's closer than I thought it was going to be. People who vote are, I don't know if we're going to sway the majority here, but we're getting closer to that place.
There are times that I'm like, man, the government is capable of so much. These people are so awful. And other times that I think, I'm not sure that these people are any smarter than, like, my children. And one of those moments, now this isn't the U.S. government, but this is the Chinese government. There was a moment, and I think this was last year now, because I think this is a 2023 story, that they were, we discovered that they were trying to spy on the United States. They were doing so with hot air balloons. It was one of those moments that you go, you know what? They probably have some very sophisticated techniques. They also are doing things like this that make them look stupid. This one looks like that to me. I would love to believe that we have such incredible technology that this is possible. I just don't think we're there.
MSNBC reports, just let that simmer. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene is back doing what she's best known for, spreading conspiracy theories. The Georgia Republican who infamously boosted a conspiracy theory about Jewish space lasers in 2021 seemingly tried to imply that Hurricane Helene was the product of someone, an ominous but otherwise identified, quote, they, end quote, who can control the weather. Green wrote on X late Thursday, yes, they can control the weather. It's ridiculous for anyone to lie and say it can't be done. Readers added context on X to say weather manipulation is possible at small scales, for example, cloud seeding. However, weather patterns in general are naturally occurring and cannot be controlled. Hurricanes and other large storms cannot be created artificially with modern technology. That's according to, I guess it's not community notes, but it's like context, extra context on X.
I was able to find the original date of that video, and I found it on CBS's website.
So they still have it up there.
They still have it up.
This is not a deep fake.
Yeah, it's from September 25th of 2013.
That's 5 years later than I thought it was. September 25th.
Thanks, Obama.
You've been waiting for the minute. MSNBC went on to report that grim warning followed a post earlier in the day with a map showing areas affected by Helene and their political leanings. This is a map of hurricane affected areas with an overlay of electoral map by political party shows how hurricane devastation could affect the election. I think it would just be easier to cheat at the ballot box.
Yeah, the kind of conspiracies that I think the elite are involved in are like really nefarious, sex trafficking, stuff like that. I just don't see this one in their purview. I will say, though, that this is a really weird track for a hurricane to form in the Gulf. Like, that's not that they never form in the Gulf.
Are you talking about Milton?
Milton, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this one, it's such a strong hurricane to form in the Gulf and then to go due east. That's not that common.
So you think it's the government?
It's clearly the government.
Didn't
actually, I think it's Marjorie Taylor Greene. She alone
next
is doing
level.
It.
That's 7D chess right there.
I was gonna say, didn't Katrina form in the Gulf? And
yeah, but that's what I mean about it. Went north.
It went straight
they
into.
They usually don't go east like that.
Yeah, I can't. So there's so many ways to go with it. No, on the big scale, I don't think that the government is controlling the weather. I think that they're working on things like cloud seeding where they can make it rain in areas that it doesn't usually rain or encourage it to rain.
Why haven't we solved the California problem?
But yeah, exactly.
Ooh, that's a good point. The wildfires?
Well, just they have a drought.
Yes.
I mean, wildfires are part of that, but less fire, more water.
If only they were near a body of water.
I know. Remember when we went to that press conference when Donald Trump was standing next to the like Pacific Ocean? And he's like, somebody in California asks him something specific about California. And he went on for like 8 minutes about how he could fix the drought problem in California. And he had details. people are like, Donald Trump doesn't talk about policy at all. I'm like, sometimes he's too in the weeds with policy. He's in a press conference being carried nationally, and we're talking about drought problems in California, which are massive and absolutely need the attention of somebody who is in the Oval Office to make sure that we don't have, as he was saying, dammed up areas that are withholding water from the rest of the... I don't know anything about these problems. Maybe what he's suggesting is the dumbest thing ever, but somebody asked him a question and he had an answer for it and he had a policy position on it. Kamala Harris was asked about why she's had 8 different policies on the same issue, and she's like, I talk to people around the country.
She also wants to fix the economy, Annie, and she's going to do so by giving small business loans to nurses and teachers.
Small businesses are the backbone of society, Ryan.
I agree.
Well, I don't know what to do with that. I said what I said.
Well, Donald I want to Trump spend more government money. I think there's other ways we can spend more government money. And if you elect me, you'll find out how.
The interesting thing about Marjorie Taylor Greene, who has really like been the person who's kind of pushed this conversation a little bit further along, people are watching the weather. There's a lot of people who look at the weather on a regular basis and look at it as a biblical thing. And then there's Marjorie Taylor Greene, which is a little bit different than that because it's not like the Lord's wrath on our sinful nature. It's the government's wrath on people they hate or despise or whatever.
Tampa.
But what did they do?
On our conservative nature.
They don't
like Busch Gardens.
I don't ever hear about Marjorie Taylor Greene and whatever her latest thing is first from conservatives. I always hear about MTG first from the hardest of Never Trumpers. She's got him on a hook. Like, she says jump, and they say how high. People be like, and your girl, Marjorie Taylor. I'm like, who said she was my girl? She's been on the show. She came on the show, and I'm going to be honest. I think she's kind of nutty. But she was way more normal and accessible in the conversation that we had than I anticipated her to be. But, I mean, I don't dabble in the super easy pitch of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez because I think it's grating. And I kind of have, I've said this before, AOC, MTG, same coin, different sides.
Yeah, I want them to build a utopia. Like in Wyoming.
Don't do that to them.
Wait, leave Wyoming alone.
I'm sorry. You know what was really disappointing about your interview with Marjorie Taylor Greene? It was so normal.
Yeah.
I was hoping for some fireworks.
I was prepared. She was normal. And you know, she was like, I wanted to be on the record. I wanted to speak for myself because her book is MTG. And we were talking about her book. And she's got, like, you don't know always where she is on people. Like Matt Gaetz, Donald Trump, Kevin McCarthy.
Bob Menendez.
Okay. I'm just saying people's names now. But I mean, when you take in where she is, she'll tell you. It's not like she keeps it secrets, but she definitely is her own person in her own lane. And sometimes you're like, oh, I totally would have thought she would have been buddy-buddy with that person, and turns out they hate each other.
Yeah.
It's just interesting to me that Marjorie Taylor Greene has increased her lead. Her wins have gotten bigger in her Georgia district, so she doesn't have to worry about that. And the people who pay the most attention to her are liberals who don't live in Georgia.
I got to back you up on the AOC thing. There are weeks where I will be going through our show folders looking for questions for Friday and see AOC clips that throughout the week that were pulled. Mm-mm. And they were really good clips.
Mm-mm.
And you didn't play them.
Mm-mm.
And I'm like, well, shoot, I kind of want to use that.
Mm-mm.
And I don't because we didn't use it.
Mm-mm. Oh, sure.
Yeah, I don't do stuff that was off the show.
Yeah. Every week, I'm like, did we even talk about this? And you're like, no. And you're so proud.
Yeah, well, sometimes I'm like, yeah, but it was in the show folder. So I kind of like.
So it's Brad's fault?
Some gray area.
It's Brad's fault?
I'm not going to go say it's Brad's fault. I will say it's Ethan's fault because he's not in the room.
Ethan. I want to take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk to Tammy Bruce. Love having her on the show. Love her fiery opinion. I want to give her the opportunity to give us the temperature of the election, the temperature of the mood of the country. Tammy Bruce always has a wonderful take, and we're always grateful when she shares it with us. She'll be with us when we come back. You need to come vote and tell us, does the government control the weather, yes or no? Annie Fry YouTube channel. We'll be right back.
Kamala Harris's campaign, just 28% of Americans think the U.S. is on the right track. And I want you to put that in a perspective, right? When does the average, when the incumbent party loses the election, look at that. It's just 25%. That looks a heck of a lot like that 28%, right, that currently think the country is on the right track. When the White House party wins, i.e. Kamala Harris's party, the Democrats, 42% on average think that the country is on the right track. This 25% looks a lot more like this 28%. It doesn't look anything like this 42%. This, to me, is a bad sign for Kamala Harris's campaign. The bottom line is, it looks a lot more like a loser than it does like a winner when it comes to the country being on the right track.
Well, there's CNN saying not so great things if you're the Harris campaign. And we've seen Kamala Harris on the 60 Minutes interview last night. And you're just thinking to yourself, man, put her out of her misery here. She's not the candidate for the job. She's not the woman for the time. But that's who the Democrats specifically selected to face Donald Trump. It's hard to get excited about the possibility of a Donald Trump victory, but that's why we bring Tammy Bruce onto the show. Fox News contributor, AMAC columnist, and a best-selling author. Her current book, Fear Itself, Exposing the Left's Mind-Killing Agenda. Tammy, welcome back to the show. Thank you for being here with us today.
Well, it's always great. Thank you for having me.
You know, the last time or maybe two times ago when you were on here, you kind of gave us a pep talk, and it was something that needed to be heard by me and a lot of our listeners who commented on it. I don't think I'm emotionally prepared for Donald Trump to win this election, because we've been dealing with these last 3.5 years. It's been a dirge to go through this and experience this and question everything, that it's hard to think forward about Donald Trump winning, but it does feel like the signs are pointing to that direction.
Yes. And, you know, the reason we're all kind of unclear is it's a combination. It's that we know, and it's never been denied, that there is cheating in elections. The issue becomes, you know, how significant is that? Are the shenanigans? How widespread? And specifically, how do they affect the swing states? And so it's usually been to a degree where the victory of someone really can overcome that kind of cheating, but also that it was not really organized in a major way, especially by one of the parties or by the federal government itself. So the problem is that regardless of who you're for or what you believe happened in 2020, is that the fact is the conversation has been there. And it's been, you know, all over the place. It's been looked at. It's been addressed. Again, there's a great deal that can't be denied in a normal framework. And then we have this year a very different situation, Annie. You've got Laura Trump, you know, head of the party. You've got lawsuits that were like preemptive lawsuits for states regarding issues of people who are illegal aliens registered to vote. As an example, in Virginia, Glenn Youngkin, they purged thousands and thousands of illegal aliens from their voter rolls. You know, states are looking at, I think it was Virginia, that things would be hand counted only. You know, so certain states are taking their own actions. And then the lawsuits regarding purging dead voters, purging people who just haven't voted in multiple cycles, people who are not citizens, lawsuits and good court decisions regarding what ballots can be counted, that if the date's incorrect, if there is no date, if there is no signature, the rules we have in place for a reason that were jettisoned in many places in 2020 and 2022, are now, you know, we're getting those under control. So there's a lot of things happening behind the scenes. We know that there's efforts made to tighten the situation up a bit. But there's a legitimacy issue, not only with the government, but with the processes that that various state governments oversee, and what the blue states do versus the red states, et cetera. But beyond that, what we're looking at, when you say, and it is difficult for all of us because of what we've gone through, but imagine how much more difficult it is for the Trump family and for people on the ground, and the nature of what makes this so important. The reason it's so important is because dramatic things are at stake, like the future. Yeah. Our family futures, the future of the country, that alone can be exhausting, especially when you hear people on the other side lie and lie by omission, are obviously making things up. You know, this the Kamala Harris media stuff, going to the softball interviews, still can't handle it. And we begin to wonder, especially about the issue of legitimacy, who is it that thinks that this is okay to do for this country at this point of time in the world, that they put somebody up who literally can't be honest with the American people, because then she would be rejected completely. They know what she represents we don't want, and so they must hide it from us. Mm. So that is also exhausting. But I would say, for those who, if you're, you don't want to go out on a limb and presume anything, and frankly, Annie, that's appropriate. Nothing is guaranteed. I'm a believer that things are as they should be, that God is in charge, but of course God has us with certain kinds of duties and jobs here on earth. And, you know, I'm seeing a much better environment than in 20, than in 16, 20 and 22.
Yes.
When it comes to infrastructure, I'm seeing, you know, we've got, you know, Twitter and social media has been, you know, removed from the complete control of the federal government. That helps us. We have an unusual and historic unity with Republicans involving people like Elon Musk and Robert Kennedy and Tulsi Gabbard and others coming together, and, you know, in a horrible 4 years. So I think that with everything happening, you know, obviously, I think we should all vote for the person they keep trying to kill. That's a sign about who the establishment's afraid of. And when we see these numbers, and this will be my last point, Trump was always very behind. I mean, you can use the Hillary Clinton numbers when it was, you know, she was 80% ahead and he was, you know, 30% chance. I mean, you think the numbers now are difficult because they show that they're tied. It's not because pollsters suddenly understood how to poll people. He still runs, you know, he runs cold with the polls and overperforms with the election. So if you're looking at a man who is tied with Kamala Harris, and he always overperforms because it's dangerous now. I mean, you're going to talk to a stranger on the phone or even a texting message for polling, a man who everybody keeps trying to kill. I mean, that's the quintessential shy Trump voter.
Yes.
Where it is dangerous to speak your point of view. And so I am optimistic in where I see the polls. I'm optimistic in the commitment of President Trump. I'm optimistic in what the RNC is doing under Lara Trump. I'm optimistic in the passion and the enthusiasm of the Trump team. I mean, we had the biggest political rally, I think, in human history in Butler. You know, it's a remarkable time. It's frightening because, yes, either we get it right or we don't. And what we have to do is take it day by day, keep our nose to the grindstone.
Keep working.
Commit to the work. And I think we're going to be fine.
We're speaking with Tammy Bruce right now, and I want to ask you about the Kamala Harris factor in all of this. Do you feel like, I mean, it is amazing how terrible of a candidate she is. Did they just know that there was no way Joe Biden could win, so they just thought, well, this is our best shot at it? Did it not go according to plan? Was she supposed to be a better candidate? Like, how is this where the Democrat Party winds up and says, this is the best we got?
Well, I think that the first decision was about the down ballot races. The numbers for Joe Biden, the lack of enthusiasm, were devastating for them. So what they had was not the worry that Democrats would vote for Trump, is that Democrats would stay home. And there was just no reason to vote, which means they would have lost the House and the Senate as well, various gubernatorial races, et cetera. And I think that this was a Hail Mary pass, and it worked in that regard, to get the enthusiasm up enough to where their voters would not abandon them completely, and that they could you know, at least not lose entirely. Now, there's still a chance that, you know, the Republicans can win the Senate and maintain control of the House. But the Democrats' worry was, if Trump's going to get elected, we can at least once again keep him tied down to have, you know, to not be able to operate with a House and a Senate. And also, if Trump wins, it is possible we've got one or two Supreme Court justices who will retire. And then for the first time, maybe I think since the mid part of the 20th century, that we'll have a Supreme Court dominated by conservative appointees. Mm-hmm. And so the Democrats are aware of that as well. So they want the Senate to try to make sure that nobody that he picks would get confirmed. Yeah. That's what they're thinking. But of course, in the meantime, and then the media is with them and they're gaslighting everybody. And it's helping. It will help the down ballot. They will have more people go to vote than they did with Biden. The difference is that can it work by mistake in getting her elected, right? It's like, what will the impact of the hurricanes be? Are we going to get people to be able to vote properly in North Carolina? I already know that, you know, people are on the ground getting that done. Things that they didn't anticipate, though, was Elon Musk and his involvement and Bobby Kennedy. They didn't anticipate those things. They just thought that they would screw everybody over and then everybody would meekly walk away and go home. It doesn't work like that. So, you know, I think that this is it was their only hope. Especially with the Obama team in charge effectively, and they could really, they can't have anybody like a Gretchen Whitmer or Gavin Newsom, who even though they're menaces, actually have minds of their own and want their own power. That's why neither one of them are the vice presidential choice, because they're not going to be second to someone that they know is incompetent. So they're waiting for 28, those people like that. And, you know, this is if Kamala wins, the hopes for all those people are dashed. But I remain confident that Trump is going to win. But it's also about the Senate and the House. And it's about making sure that it's a win that is solid and dominant, so that the American people, you know, agree to allow him to get done what we need to get done in the midst of all of this.
Mm. One last question before we let you go. We're speaking with Tammy Bruce, who is a Fox News contributor and a best-selling author. I've heard a lot of people, Bobby Kennedy is probably the highest profile one, maybe Elon Musk as well, who have transitioned over to Trump, to MAGA, maybe to Republicanism, but maybe not necessarily conservatism, constitutionalism. Mm-hmm. You've been a Democrat in your lifetime. What do you say to those people out there right now who are completely disenchanted by Kamala Harris and where the Democrats are and are trying to figure out if they can stomach checking the box for Donald Trump?
Well, I think that there's, when you become disillusioned, you realize that you've been lied to for so long and that it's insulting, especially Jewish Democrats. When you understand that Not all roads lead to Rome, that some the Democrat roads go off the cliff. So you there is a moment here, and this is where the founders are genius, right? This is a 4-year term. It's one more term for Trump. It is enough time with enough support to get the country back on her feet. It's like going into an emergency room. You don't personally like the surgeon, but he is the best surgeon. Maybe on the planet, and your father's on the table. You're not going to say, I don't want him doing it. Let's wait. Let's wait and get some other doctor in who I might like personally better, even though I don't know the doctor personally. But we know the results of his work, and your father's life is at stake. And of course, you're going to say, please, doctor, thank you. And then you're going to pray, and you know that you've got the best doctor you can have. There are times when so much is at stake, these distractions that the Democrats have created about, ooh, I don't like the phrases he uses. You realize, my God, you're feeding your children cereal for dinner. Do you give a damn at this point about whether or not you're going to believe what the View tells you? Because they're not eating cereal for dinner. They're not worried about gas in their car. They're not, they don't care, and because they've got everything they need. And this is what this fight is now. It's not about Trump versus Kamala Harris. It is about a system that views us as an irritant to be stomped on versus freedom. And Trump will be the unlocking of the door for one term, and then the Republicans have to worry about who's up next in 28, because this is going to be a multi-generational fight. We can't, we saw the last 4 years. You think we can withstand going back and forth like this? What generation, which child are you going to abandon because you're going to be swayed again for another 8 years because somebody is a smooth talker on TV, or even if they're a salad talker that somebody, you know, on CNN or The View tells you that you got to do it because Trump is icky. You know, this is about, all right, being serious about our futures, knowing that the president makes a difference, and that is how people will vote. I'm absolutely convinced. And Trump, of course, we see every day, he's doing it for the right reasons. He's lost everything. And if he does not win, he knows he's going to jail. If he doesn't win, Elon Musk may go to jail. They will not stop because they will see this as a stamp of approval to do even more. So we know these things. And I know the American people. You do, too. You talk to them every day. This country is the greatest on earth because we do not fall for this. And we understand what we're seeing. And we're going to do the right thing.
Amen to everything you just said, Tammy Bruce. And that's so spot on, that we have to love our children. We have to love our future more than we hate the mean tweets or whatever it is.
Correct.
That you've put the category into distaste for Donald Trump. There's so much more at
exactly.
stake than our feelings, the things that matter.
Yeah.
Tammy, thank
that's
you.
Right.
We appreciate you so much. Thanks
My
for being
pleasure.
Here.
Thank you, dear.
Take care. Bye-bye. Tammy Bruce is a Fox News contributor, an AMAC columnist, and a best-selling author. Must-read book, Fear Itself, Exposing the Left's Mind-Killing Agenda. Speaks right to my heart there when she's talking about how we have to know what's at stake here, and we can't be in a position where we are so emotionally sensitive to the way one person talks to the point where we would vote against our own children's best interests in this country. We have to do better. Well said, Tammy Bruce, and grateful to have her on. Quick break. When we come back, Wiggins America. Don't go away.
Nobody knows. Baby, get ready.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
Don't suck.
Okay, a little story you got to set this up with here. It involves me going to a fast food restaurant, so this is not food news.
Oh, you are cheating.
Keep in mind.
You're cheating.
This is just life happens. Sometimes it happens at a fast food restaurant.
More for some than others.
I won't say which one, but yesterday, before the show, I was talking to...
Did it involve McChickens?
No, it did not. There are many restaurants that serve chicken. It did involve chicken. I ordered chicken, and the person behind the counter, I heard him just kind of over talking about the job that he wanted. So he was working at a fast food restaurant. He said, I really want to work at this place, though. And I heard the name of the place. I said, oh, my gosh, I actually know the manager there. I said, have you put a job or application in and all that stuff? And he said, yeah, I used to work there, though. And I'm like, well, okay, so you used to work there, now you're here, and you want to get back there. He said, yes, but I got locked up, and I lost my job. So I said, well, that's going to be tough, but, you know, I'll at least give your name to the guy and see if he's gotten your application. But it got me thinking, that is going to be a tough interview for that guy. So I started looking at interview advice and ways to nail interviews.
This is a journey.
Yes. Yes, it is.
So I was talking to this felon.
So, yeah, it sounds like he's put himself in a bad situation.
But he's working. He's back in the game.
He's trying to go back in. He's trying to get back to where he was.
Good for him.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
Did you tell him what you do for a living?
I did not. He's probably listening.
Hi.
Hi, person who I'm not going to say your name. So I looked up a whole bunch of different articles. Most of these actually from CNBC, but they're from different HR professionals.
You said chicken. The listeners are saying it can be only two places, Chick-fil-A or Hooters. Go on.
You know what? I really like the feedback. I'm going to have to push back on those being the only two restaurants that serve chicken.
That was just my interpretation of the comment.
Okay.
Go on.
So I went to Hooters before the show yesterday. And I just like the wings. It's just the way I am in the trivia.
What everybody likes about Hooters.
Yeah, I just love doing their trivia on Tuesdays at 11. The number one question to always ask in a job interview.
So if you're the interviewee.
So if you are the interviewee, and most of these are from the interviewee's standpoint here.
Okay.
There's one question
What's
in particular.
Source?
This is CNBC, but okay. They're interviewing a LinkedIn career expert.
Okay.
So take that.
Okay. I shall take it. I shall receive it.
One question in particular you should always ask in a job interview. And that question is, what does success look like to you who are hiring me in the first 90 days of this role?
It's a good question.
I agree. It does sound a little bit like you rehearsed it, but if you can put that into your own words.
Only if you do it like with a dance.
Like a top hat. Hey, what does success look like to you in the first 90 days of this role? Just a reminder, you can get the podcast and listen to Tammy Bruce during this interview. Or during this segment.
Instead
of this. So that is the...
No, I think it's a smart thing because it gives you an immediate way to, should you be hired, produce.
Yeah, and give me what you're expecting out of me. I think those are good questions. Now, another HR pro said, and this is one that I don't know about. I want to see what you guys think about. He says that the best questions you can ask are almost interviewing the interviewer. But do so in a humble brag way.
Oh,
and I'm like, I don't know.
Can you just have an example?
He says a good question would look like this. Hey, in the last two companies when I did this, here were some problems we had. How are you solving that?
I haven't interviewed for a job in so long. Who knows? It could be in my near future. We'll see. That is weird.
It does seem weird to me.
Unless the interviewer has gotten the ball rolling in that regard.
Sure.
Did you ask that question, Ethan, when you were interviewing for the full-time Annie Fry Show, Mark Reardon assistant producer job?
No.
Well, here's another one
here
that
you
might. Yeah. You might want to ask this if you ever had to re-interview for this job for some reason. I don't know why.
I got locked up.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm trying to get the job back. Here's this new technology that we used at my last company. Are you thinking about doing that? I think these questions are terrible, but that's what the HR representative says likes to hear.
I can understand wanting to say, like, I'm experienced with this, 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 and this, because it is about you. But if somebody's, I mean, maybe if this is your third interview in a series of interviews for a high-profile position, you're going to have a bit, like, if you know that you're the best at this, that they would be making a really good decision to hire you, and you're maybe competing with a couple other people at this point, and you're in negotiation and they're working hard to hire you, you are in a position where you can ask some of these questions. But like, if you're going to Hooters,
yeah,
and you're like, at my last job, mm-hmm. I used this technology and you should implement what we did at my last job. They don't care.
I'm thinking about that in radio, and I'm thinking, like, you know, hey, at my last job, they had these great boards, and yeah. I need to know if you guys are using this technology, and like boards are like, how much do boards cost? Like,
sure.
I mean, like, we're talking about, like, listen, if I'm going to be coming to work for you,
but if
you better
in,
be implementing thousands of dollars of technology for me.
Yeah, that's unrealistic. But if you were to come in and say, you know, I'm really great at social media, I have this experience, my last job, I managed a social media account, we used this application to create video content, and I'm really good at using that, and we were able to grow our Facebook page from X to Y because of it. Do you guys use anything like that? I would see that as an interviewer, as in like, oh, this person's going to bring something to the table. Not like, I need them to do A, B, and C. They are like, I can totally do A, B, and C, but what about D, E, and F? I can bring that to the table too, and that can help grow. Mm. But it really depends on the level of what you're interviewing for and how much people need you to show up and just do the work and how much room, like what we do here, someone's got a good idea and they're willing to help make it happen. We're doing it. We're asking for forgiveness before permission, and we don't really have to ask for forgiveness really ever when we do that. People give us a lot of space to do what we want to do.
I asked one question when I interviewed at Hooters, and I said, what is it gonna do I have what it takes to waitress here?
And they said
no, we think you could co-host the Annie Fry Show. And that was 2018 for me in a nutshell.
That was not run by me. One day Ryan showed up in the studio and he stayed.
Mm-hmm. I was just cleaning the cabinets.
Yeah. We had, I think, Tony Colombo on in your role for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, one day they're like, Tony's going to the DGS. Ryan's staying here. And we were like, okay.
And I said the same.
And, yeah,
okay, because
yeah,
I was on the DGS.
Everybody got told what to do.
Yeah.
And I would say I'm very happy with where we are right now.
Thank you very much. One more piece of advice before we go here. They say the question not to ask, like you said, in the first interview, but you could in the second or third because, hey, you've already gotten well along, or after they've
actually
given you the offer, that's the best time to ask, how does the company support work-life balance? That's when you should ask. Don't do it during the first interview. Wait until they've made the offer to start asking those kind of questions.
Work-life balance. I'm glad that has come to be a thing in our lifetime. If you're a boomer right now, you're like, screw that.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not hiring you.
Weaklings. Let's take a quick break. Go vote in the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll. Does the government control the weather? Yes or no? What do you think? Boy, this is getting closer than I thought it would be. We'll be right back.